The following is not professional consultation. We share our viewpoints and experiences. It's up to you to decide how to receive this information to best suit your life. Take it or leave it.
What the sex? What?
You've tuned into What the Sex, starring the Banff, JP Severs, and Double D, Sarah D. This has explicit content not suited for an audience under 18. Topics ranging from being single, flirting, dating, relationships, love, and of course, fucking brings out from which they came. Do's and don'ts, and it's all just between us, the sheets, and anywhere else we fancy. So lay on back and brace yourselves because we're biters. Welcome to this nasty edition of What the Sex. I'm Sarah D.
And I'm JP.
Powered by BamfSwag.net.
For all your t-shirt needs. This episode is about a few things, so right off the bat, I've been watching documentaries on Netflix. I ain't gonna lie, I've been doing my research and studying up on things related to love and sex and so forth, and without giving away the name of it, because you guys can look it up and you'll obviously pretty quickly find it yourselves, but I looked at one that talks about the science, about the calculations, I guess, that go into breaking down the formula, hypothetically, into getting into someone's pants. Now, I'm sure it does work both ways, but also, you know, come on, the science for getting into a man's pants is not as difficult.
No, it's not difficult at all to do that. It's very easy.
Yeah, it's much more difficult to get the science just right to get into the woman's pants. Now, it is a bunch of guys, and, you know, they're not from the United States, so they have very thick accents, and, you know, there's one that stutters profusely, and so that part of it was a challenge for me to get through just because it was, you know, somewhat distracting. Like, you know, speak better English and don't stutter, and then we'll have a, you know, a good documentary. But I listened to them, and, you know, I had already watched a couple documentaries in the past about this sort of thing where, you know, the symmetry between where your eyes are placed versus where your nose is, how your eyebrows move, you know, all these things go into part of what creates that initial attraction. And of course, it's going to be the physical aspects, because before you even know their name, generally speaking, you know what they look like.
100%, yes.
So, well, not 100%, because you know, unless you meet on a nude beach, it's not 100%.
No.
But I know what you meant. I'm just playing with you. But yeah, I felt like it was interesting to see that, you know, they're trying to break down the code. I mean, because they were doing a lot of experiments as well. So it wasn't like they were just like, okay, guys, we're going to school you. You know, it was they wanted to see what would work and what doesn't. And, you know, they had hidden cameras, and, you know, they went on these blind dates, and they had guys in their heads with little earpieces telling them what to say, like, you know, engage the conversation to, you know, they were talking about how, you know, it's important to agree with women, but also to disagree with women at certain points, and to pick your battles and to know which ones to do which, because you want them to be comfortable that they're allowed to be themselves around you. But just for in and of itself, the idea that you have to also disagree to stabilize and establish that you are your own person, that the woman is going to be wanted to basically draw to.
Yeah, you can't 100% agree with the woman all the time, because when you do that, it just becomes annoying. You got to be able to debate certain things. You can't have everything in common.
But what if you happen to? Like,
you can't possibly have everything in common with somebody. You're bound to have one or two things where you just don't mesh well with.
Well, I think the odds of finding that one person that is exactly like you is going to be rare, but it is possible.
100 Yes, it's definitely possible to be able to find somebody that's just like you. Like, explain that. Every aspect, like what your likes are, your dislikes, movie taste, music taste, food.
Yeah.
You know, all that. Well, I guess you could, but you're bound to. Politics and religion will be one thing that not everybody's going to find somebody that agrees on everything with. So
again, not very likely, but possible.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so the whole documentary was spent with a couple of the scientists being the guinea pigs and having them go on various dates, you know, like I said, blind dating, but then they also had them go through speed dating. They had them, you know, I think they were on a cruise at one point trying to, you know, hook up randomly and try to see where they could take it. But they treated it like a mathematical equation. Like if you do this, this, and this, this will open up.
I don't like that. It's very manipulating and I don't like it.
Well,
why would you do that? I mean, is the point to find your significant other, or is the point just to feel like you're power, like you're in control and you're in power of the situation because you know what to do because you have the science of it?
Well, I think it's both, because as a guy who they don't want to have to worry about rejection, so it's going to help them get through the situation if they do feel like they're in control. Because again, it all comes back down to you guys, that you guys have, you know, the final say. And so the more control that the guys have in the meantime, you know, that helps them get through, because a lot of guys won't even approach because of the rejection factor, just the idea that the woman might say no, they don't even try.
Well, I think that's the same case for women. I mean, it's very easy. Don't get me wrong. It's very easy to be able to get a guy, but I think women have just as much fear of rejection. And I think we might take it worse than you guys do when it comes down to rejection.
That's because more often than not, you guys don't get rejection.
Yeah, I mean, well, I guess it all depends on the way you look, and that's probably a big asset.
Well, I think it helps, but again, you find the right matchup. An ugly guy can reject a beautiful woman and vice versa in any which combination, so it doesn't just come down to, you know, whether or not the person's a supermodel as to whether or not they're going to get rejected.
Yeah, and you don't, somebody's personality, somebody's humor, somebody's, the way they laugh can totally change the way you see someone. Someone could be average looking, but if they have a sense of humor and a personality, that just takes them well above average. And
well, yeah, could you imagine if you were being hit on by George Clooney, he laughs and just goes...
No. I'd be like, well, look at the time. Yeah, I've got to go. It was nice knowing you.
One fine day sucked.
Yeah. You should have stayed on Roseanne. I don't even find him attractive, though, so.
Well, no, but I'm just saying, like, yeah. You know, the Terry's stereotypical example, like, if he can come across that way and then all of a sudden just, you know, have some horrific, obscene thing about him that it would kill the whole situation.
Yeah, it's just like, don't talk. If we're gonna go to bed, just keep your mouth shut.
We had to make it a literal serious relationship very early on because of the way he laughs.
I love that. That is perfect. We're completely BDSM in this relationship.
Yeah. There's nothing funny about it.
Oh my God.
And she spits water through her nose.
Exactly. And it's time for the man to go. Mm-hmm. That would be a turn off.
Right.
Water coming out of the nose.
So you just find, I mean, because I think problem is that there is a formula to dating.
I can agree to that. I can agree you have to play, you have to know what to say, when to say it, when to not come on so quickly, and, you know, to not make it look like you're trying to rush things. And then you've got to hold back, you know, don't return the text message too quick, or, you know, things like that.
See, I find all of that part of it ridiculous. It's like, if I did happen to meet somebody and I wanted to talk to them the next day, I would talk to them the next day.
Well, it's not about not talking to them the next day. It's just, okay, well, he texted me at 7 o'clock this morning. Okay, I might wait till about 8:15 to text him back. To not seem like I'm so eager, you know, things like that.
But why is that vulnerable? I mean, but why does that seem like a vulnerability rather than an asset that, hey, I'm really into you and I want you to know it? Why does it make you seem weak?
Because
people want to talk to them.
Because most of the time when the guys feel like they have the upper hand, say you message me at 7 o'clock. Well, 2 seconds later, I'm messaging you back. And, you know, I'm always right there, you know, messaging you back and calling you back and things like that. Then they feel like they have control of this situation, and then you become no more of a chase to them. So therefore, you become more, you just become boring sometimes. And then you're no longer something thrilling that they have to, why isn't she messaging me back? I know she saw it. Why didn't she, you know? Things like
but
that.
See, that's, well, but see, that's a dangerous game, because if you wait too long, he'll either know you're that you're playing a game and just be patient, or he's going to think you really aren't interested, and now you've lost the guy you do want because you were afraid to let him know how you really felt.
I know. It's a fine line you have to teeter on and whenever you're playing that game.
Well, right. And the rules don't apply all the same to the to everybody.
No, they don't.
Because, like, for example, if you waited an hour and 15 minutes to text me back, that might be okay with me, but you get this other, you know, impatient asshole, and he's figuring an hour and 15, oh, that bitch is done.
Well, then you know how to reel him back in, though. That's the thing. You say something, or you start in picture, things like that, and they're like, okay, you just kind of reel him back in a little bit.
If and when it works, fine. But again, I don't like the games at all. Like, I don't like that there's a code, because again, it doesn't work across the board. Something, you know, me hitting on you at the bar isn't going to be the same way I apply trying to hook up with somebody else at the bar. And if I don't already know either of you, it's hit and miss blind.
So how would you approach somebody at the bar after watching this? Would you take of their advice?
No, it makes me fear dating all the more. As if I wasn't already, you know, confirmed. Oh yeah, I've never dated. My relationships have always stemmed from being friends first. I've never gone out on a date with that person, or I already know that person.
So you've never, for instance, we live in the days of technology, so you've never met somebody online, whether it's whatever the sites are, and talked to them for a little bit and then met up randomly and gone out on a date.
Well, but see, okay, I've met people from online, but I got to know them first. It wasn't like, oh, you know, you look hot, let's go out on a date. I got to know her first, because, you know, regardless of the stigma that the guys are crazy, there's a lot of women who are crazy. So
yeah.
I take as many precautions meeting women that women should be taking when they meet guys.
I will own that. We are a certain type of crazy. I don't. They need to study the craziness that we produce a little bit more.
I have met and had several lesbian friends, but there was one in particular that to me put it best. If she could stop loving women, she would, because we're fucking crazy.
If she could stop loving women, she would,
because she admits that her and the other half, all women, are fucking crazy.
I couldn't imagine being a lesbian. I really couldn't. Just for the sheer fact that women are nuts. Like, it would turn me straight, because I'd be like, I can't do this. I'd be like, I'm going to need to pop a Xanax. I can't do this. I can't manage this. This is too much.
And pop a few other things.
Yeah. Yeah, it would turn me straight. I would be the most celibate lesbian ever.
That's like, what was it, Bill Engvall? He said, you know, he could handle being gay if it wasn't for the sex, because then he's just hanging out with his buds.
Exactly. That's exactly the point. So I can handle being, yes, I'll be a celibate lesbian, and I'll just have girlfriends, and we just won't do anything, and it'll just be like I'm in a nunnery. So, except I get to wear better clothes.
You'll just stare at yourself in the mirror all day.
And just have sex with myself.
Yeah. Now you're a narcissist lesbian.
Narcissistic lesbian. Who only has sex with herself because she's the only one who's
Which makes her crazy, or crazier, that, you know, only, you know, you got to be me to get me.
Oh, I should just start looking in the mirror right now and just be amazed at how good I look.
There you go.
Oh my goodness.
So you find it insulting, though, that there's like a code that if someone knows the right methods, that they can inadvertently basically trick you into doing what they want you to do.
Yes, whenever you're tricking somebody, I get when you're playing the game, like I talked about, when you're playing a game and it's like, well, don't text this, you know, don't text too soon, don't come on too strong, things like that. That's just because you want to keep them interested. But when they're purposely tricking you to make you want to be more interested and talk to them or call them or get upset or get angry or be happy, that's just fucking with the mind. That's just a mind fucking. I don't like that.
Well, I feel like women do it more than guys do. Guys to me, as much as some of them can be assholes, I think overall guys are a lot more chill. They don't make waves in the relationship for the most part, whereas women are usually the instigators of, why are you doing this? Why aren't you doing this? Why did you say that? Why did you do that? Where are you going to be? Why are you wearing that? Like, guys might be thinking those things, but they're not ones to, like, you know, call you out on it.
Yeah.
Women are the ones that frankly have the balls and, you know, take that risk, because, you know, you come across too strong, some guys will be like, this is nuts. No.
psycho. Yeah. Like the little red lights going off above your head. Yeah. Crazy.
I've only met this chick 15 minutes ago and I'm already trying to think of a cover story.
I think if everyone would just be more honest, men and women, I think it would just make things way easier. Just go into it letting you know what you want from the relationship. Is this a relationship? Is this a couple month deal? Is this just a hookup? Is this just a boundary? I mean, a rebound. I think it would be much easier. I mean, when I personally went into relationships and started dating people, obviously I got to know them, but I'm not going to date somebody who I don't think that I could possibly end up with. Because isn't that the sole purpose of getting in a relationship? Not dating, but getting in a relationship.
Not for everybody.
See, I always thought if you're getting into a relationship, casual dating, okay. Just going to the movies, going out to dinner. But if you're getting into an actual relationship, aren't you doing that for the sole purpose to find your significant other?
Just a consistent form of sex until the next thing comes along.
And that's a typical male thing to say.
But it's not what I agree with, so you know. I'm just saying that... Well, but see, I didn't say it as if it was just a male thought. Women think that way too. Not all, but some.
Yeah.
Women are, you know, they pop sometimes into their, you know, friends with the, you know, their dicks in a glass case, break open in case of emergency.
Oh, I've had those, yes.
Yeah. But you do that knowing that you're not going to see it through.
See, what do you mean see it through?
Whether it's a one-night stand, the casual friend with benefits.
Well, that's what I mean. They know their role. That's the honesty part that comes in. They know what their role is.
So you verbalized it before you did anything?
100% yes.
Okay.
When it was in that situation, it was, this is no strings attached. This is what it is. If I call you, you call me. We know what's happening. There was no, maybe this is going to be a relationship, maybe it's not. It was clear cut dry. That's all it was. You know, we didn't go to movies, we didn't go to dinners, that's what it was. So that's what I mean. If you're more honest and you let people know this is what I want, then neither of the parties get hurt.
And then people wonder why guys, as the stereotype, would rather have fuck buddies, because listen to how much cheaper it is.
It's a lot cheaper. Yeah.
If I just want to fuck you, I don't have to pay you.
No, you don't have to take. But,
that makes weirder sense though. That if I want to keep you around,
you don't have to wine and dine me. No, you don't have to wine and dine me. Just let me know it is what it is, and there's no strings attached, and that it's not a monogamous type deal.
But if it is a monogamous thing, now I got to start buying your meals?
No, not necessarily, no. Just don't expect me to not be able to flirt or do other things, you know, when other people come around. Because we're not dating. So what's, you know, we're not together. You're not my boyfriend.
But what do you mean by when other people are around? Because usually if you are just booty calls, there shouldn't be other people around unless that's what you're into.
No, but you can have a friends with benefit who is a literal friend, you know, that you run in the same crowds, you run in the same group. I've never done that before, to be honest with you. I mean, that's just too strange. because it's hard to keep that a secret under wraps. I did that once. I take that back. Yes. But, and then we ended up dating and we ended up living together and we ended up engaged. And then we obviously did not get married, but it all started that way. And we couldn't keep it a secret. You know, people started seeing that between us. And then that's when it was just like, okay, well, now our friends know. So where do we go from here? Do we actually go out on a date? And then
did you feel pressured then?
I think so, yes. I think because we were friends and our friends found out.
And you were trying to justify, like, to keep people from, you know, talking shit or bitching about it.
They wouldn't really necessarily talk shit. The situation was, here's the fucked up situation. So initially, I had a guy friend who had a, this is, okay, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Draw the chart, okay? I had a friend named Mike who had a friend named Zach. He wanted me to meet. Okay, I've seen him a couple times at parties. Whatever. We start talking. We start hanging out. So I go with Zach over to, I'm not even going to use my ex-fiance's real name.
Zach, probably Screech's house.
Yes. So we're going to use Screech. We'll go with Screech. So we went, because he kind of looked like him, like scrawny. So me and Zach go over to Screech's house. Screech gets my phone number because Zach's phone is broke.
So, that's our Zach.
Yeah, that's our Zach. And so then Screech starts randomly texting me. And I start texting Screech back. And then the next thing you know, we start flirting, sex joking. And then he invites me over. And meanwhile, I'm still talking to Zach. And Zach doesn't realize this. And then when it all came out, that was a big blow up. And then it was just like, well, now what do? We just caused all this drama. Do we try to make this work? And then 2 years later, oh, it was a fucking nightmare.
Three-way, huh?
No. Not even close, but come to find out, I mean, Zach was his really good friend, and we still hung out with Zach after that, but I don't know.
But you were more interested in Screech in this terminology.
Yes, I was way more, once I met Screech, and me and Screech started talking, and then conversating through text, I became way more interested in him than Zach. Zach was just like, ugh.
Too bad we didn't switch these names, because as is, it doesn't make sense.
I know. That's why I said you have to have like a flow chart here on this story. So I hope you're
in because, well, because in any other story, Screech never gets the girl.
No, poor Screech. Screech, I think, ended up making a robot girlfriend, didn't he?
Oh, I've lost track. That was
come with the times now. Come on. It's on Netflix, probably. You can Netflix and chill and catch up on some Saved by the Bell.
Maybe. We'll see. I'm too busy catching up for this show. Like, you know, like I said, I'm watching a lot of stuff on there that has been eye-opening. I mean, because, you know, way back in the day when I was a kid, they had what was called Real Sex on HBO.
Loved that show.
And it was like Real Sex 9842, and you know, they had, you know, six or seven different topics that they would discuss.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But since then there hasn't really been anything until now. I've finally, you know, looked around on Netflix and so forth.
Maybe Loveline really wasn't. What about Loveline?
I mean, there's a segment of that that we do on this show where people can ask questions and we try to answer them the best that we can.
Yeah.
But that whole show was questions and answers.
That's true. It wasn't really topic-based. People just in the audience are called in.
You never know what you were talking about. One minute you're talking about venereal disease. The next minute you're talking about shower caps in the bedroom. Like, you know, it was just random.
Who does shower caps?
I don't know. It was the first thing that came to my head. No pun intended.
Hey, somebody might be into that. You know what? If you're into shower caps in the bedroom, please message us.
Yeah. And you know, we support it. We're not into it, or at least I'm not. But, you know.
Yeah.
Again, anything's open for discussion, and anything that we don't like, it's not that we're attacking it. We just, you know, even if we understand it, doesn't mean that it's our thing.
Yes, correct. Because, I mean, I don't understand shower caps. I would love to. Maybe I might be into it.
For those shower cap enthusiasts, let us know.
What about the diaper enthusiasts? Like, what is that?
See, that's a psychological thing. I think in my humble, you know, non-schooling opinion, I think that they have some sort of need or feel that they were not pampered enough to, you know, they weren't loved enough as children, that, you know, they want to go back to a time where things should have been simple and innocent, that they could, you know, not have to worry about adulting, basically.
Yeah.
And to basically be vulnerable and literally be in the hands of someone to take care of them.
And you think that's where it all stems from with that?
I think more often than not.
I've always wondered that, because that was a real sex episode, actually, I believe, where they were talking about fetishes and baby fetishes, and they would, in one of the episodes, the guy was in a playpen outside in a diaper with a bonnet on while the, was she a dom? Was she a dominatrix? Would that be what they call him? I don't know. Was just sitting there doing yard work like a, it was creepy. It was creepy. No offense. I'm sorry. If you're a diaper person, help me understand. So if you're out there listening, help me understand what it is, because I don't understand it.
Well, because it's, I mean, think about it like this. We spend our whole lives as children trying to grow up so fast so that we can do our own things and, you know, be whatever we want and make the money we want so we can buy the things that we want. And then as adults, we go back to wishing that things were simple, that we were back to being kids and didn't have all these responsibilities. And
ain't that the truth?
You know what I mean? It's the grass is always greener, but you don't know until it's too late. By the time you become an adult, you obviously can't go back unless you do something like this, where you just, you know, suspend disbelief and, you know, not have to worry about your day-to-day struggles. I'm gonna walk around in a fucking diaper.
Well, I guess that can be true for most fetishes. I mean, if you're into, like, the one I'm into, like, dominate the dom and the sub, I mean, I guess you're released from your, like you said, your reality. And it's a moment where you don't have to have, is this bill going to get paid? What about my job? I got to make sure I do this spreadsheet tomorrow. And, you know, right. You're in that moment and that's all that you're living for right there. It's just that moment. So I guess, but there's got to be another thing behind the baby aspect.
Well, like I said, I think a lot of it is not only the innocence thing, but the fact that maybe they did not feel like they were pampered. Yeah, that they weren't pampered enough as a baby. I mean, because, you know, maybe a lot of them, you know, are, you know, either adopted or lived in foster homes or,
yeah,
and that's not to stereotype, so don't think that everybody that's gone through those systems are that way, but I think that they are, you know, more likely psychologically to have that. Why, you know,
something to ponder.
Take this time to shine up the ball gag. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
That's right. Keep it locked right here where you got it. It's Chill Lover Radio.
If you'd like to air a question with your voice on our show, film a video or record an audio file and send it to whatthesexpodcast@gmail.com with no spaces or underscores. Must be 30 seconds or less. Tell us your name or that you want to be anonymous, and then state your question. You can also write to whatthesexpodcast@gmail.com or use the blog entry form at bampswag.net or through Twitter and Facebook. Many options, any of them will work. We hope to hear from you.
Click the shopping cart link that's at the top of every BAMFSWAG.net page and show your support for everything BAMF Swag does. As of the summer of 2015, it's a new store and lower prices while increasing the quality. There's never been a better time to show your support for everything that BAMF Swag does than right now. Swag it up. We're back from commercial break. I'm Sarah D.
And I'm JP.
And this is the What the Sex Podcast.
So as the female in the situation, is there anything that you come up with as a strategy if you want a particular guy at a bar or whatever to approach you?
At a bar?
Where else are you, you know?
Okay, I would just say in any situation, whether it's at a bar or wherever it may be, the way that I have always worked a situation is I don't look like I'm available, meaning I don't look desperate. You know what I'm saying? Like, I...
No, I don't.
Okay. You don't, like, just sit there and, like, you're looking around at guys trying to make eye contact, things like that. No. if I'm out with a group of people and someone wants to hit on me, I'm going to be focused on my group. I'm going to be laughing and hanging out. And that's what's going to get the guy to come to me. Like, that's my strategy. It's like, don't look desperate. Don't sit there and look. If you're with a group of like couples, don't just sit there and be like, me is woe. Woe is me. I'm sitting over here by myself. It's like, no, be outgoing. If you're sitting there laughing and having fun and a guy is looking at you from across the room, he's going to be more apt to look at you because you're having fun than some girl just sitting there looking like a meek little mouse in the corner with her group of friends. Which one are you going to go to? Are you going to go to the girl who's outgoing, having fun, or the one that's like a little mouse in the corner?
Okay, not for the obvious reasons, but I might be more inclined to go to the one that's not having fun.
Why?
Because if you're having that much fun as is, me trying to interrupt you to get your name and to try to, you know, have some sort of dialogue, you might be put off by it because I'm interrupting the fun you're already having.
Okay, I can see that. But if I just come up to the bar, let's say you're sitting at the bar and you've noticed me from across the room. You're like, wow, she looks really fun. She's having a lot of fun. I'm coming up to just sitting there waiting for a drink. Are you going to say hello? Or if you were interested, are you going to say hi? Are you not going to say hi because I'm with my friends having fun? Are you going to take that chance when I'm by myself to be like, hey, you know, how are you?
Well, in that situation, you came by me.
Yeah.
So yeah, but see, again, I feel like I'm interjecting, so I know that whatever we're about to engage in is going to be very quick until the drinks are done, and then you're going to go right back to them. My plan, or there wouldn't be a plan, I should say, that makes me, you know, get into the situation where I'm following you back to them.
Well, I would say if the conversation's engaging.
But how much can you really discuss in a few minutes when beers are being popped?
If you can make me laugh within those few minutes, I might even stick around a little bit longer, you know, and just be like, wait a minute, this guy's really interesting and he seems fun. If you can crack a joke and you can make me laugh, you're not going to get me to want to walk away from you. I'm going to want to sit there and I'm going to want to continue the conversation until one of my friends comes to get me, or I can see the conversation's lagging. So then I'm just like, all right, well, maybe I'll talk to you later or catch you when I come back for another drink, and then just go back over there and do my thing. And if you're leaving the bar and you're like, hey, you know, call me, or if I have enough balls, which I've never had enough balls to do, but if I have enough balls to be like, hey, I'm getting ready to leave, but here's my number, you know, hit me up on Facebook.
These days,
yeah. Get my Twitter. Here's my Snapchat.
Oh, I already found you while I was sitting here at the bar.
Okay, well, that's creepy.
I added you on all four of my accounts. So
Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook.
Oh, no. Just my four Facebooks.
Oh, just your four Facebooks. Okay, well, I'm a lesbian.
Yeah, right.
A celibate lesbian, but nonetheless.
A narcissistic one who only uses a mirror to get off.
Do you have a mirror on your phone? You want to take a selfie? Oh my goodness. That's how I would end that. And that is how you do it, ladies and gentlemen. You're welcome. Feel please.
Yeah. But I don't like the science in general because I feel like if you do know any form of code that you are going to use to basically systematically decide where the situation goes moment to moment, because again, it's one thing if you're charming or, you know, you can hold conversation and you guys are actually interested in what the other person's going to say, fine, that's great. But for anybody that does it in a certain way to basically trick you or manipulate you into thinking, I mean, because like I told you, that documentary, there was certain things that you could do to make the woman think that she's the one engaging the conversation, which again, it's psychological fuckery.
Yeah, that I don't like. I mean, Grant, maybe it's all along the same lines. Maybe what I do is similar to that, but I don't do it in to manipulate their mind, you know what I mean? The situation or their mind. It's just I feel that's what I need to do to reel them in. Well, I feel it's what I need to do to keep their attention. You know what I mean? Because.
But really, if you need to do one thing to reel them back in, then you shouldn't really want their attention. If it's, you know, if you have to dangle bigger pieces of meat, you know, to keep them on your line.
You need to dangle your boobies in front of them.
Well, that was probably the sparkly things that got their attention in the first place.
I will say that's always been, oh my goodness, ever since I've been 17, that has always been, there's either been a nickname or that's how they know me as. Oh, you mean Sarah with the big boobs? Or, you know, I was Jumbly Jugs for the longest time in all of my... See, you're laughing, but it's the truth. My guy friends in their cell phone had me as Jumbly Jugs. Like, even now, I have guy friends who are married who still, one of them calls me Zip Code because he says my boobs should have their own zip code. So, even like when we were at parties, he'd yell across the room, Zip Code. And I'm like, oh my God, people are going to think I don't have a name. Because that's all I'm getting called is Jumbly Jugs, Zip Code, Lit. Because I have been Lit.
JP Severs and Sarah D. Jumbly Jug. Miss Zip Code.
This is Zip Code. Lit. That was the other nickname, Lit. I almost got a tattoo of lips on my shoulder. I'm so glad I didn't do that. That would have been a big regret.
Or you could put it next to another set and be ironic.
I don't think I want any. I don't want any needles down there. No, no. That's made of gold. So there's. Can't have any needles down there. I got a pussy made of gold and a mouth made of diamonds. So
there's a tattoo.
There's the t-shirt. There's the t-shirt right there.
There's a t-shirt. All right.
Yeah.
I'll take notes. Yeah.
Write this down, shall we? Yeah. Moving on.
Well, yeah. Just FYI, guys. I just want you to know what you're getting into.
Yes. You see my shirt? Pussy made of gold, mouth made of diamonds. You're welcome.
You just found the loot.
Yeah. Put that as your Facebook status.
Talk about butt pirate, anyway.
But...
Well, actually, with you, I wonder what that is made of. If everything else is made of jewels and gold and...
Oh, what could that be made of?
Silk? I don't know.
Silk?
Marshmallows? I don't know.
We're talking about jewels here. And you go from silk to marshmallow. Where? Are you hungry?
Well, yeah. When you become that wealthy, you do want to satisfy your tummy as well.
But... I can't even comprehend that right now. But see
the fundamental difference between what women want and what men want. You're worried about wealth, and I'm just worried about food.
They do say a way to a man's heart is through a stomach.
Well,
so
there you go.
If you want to ask, made of marshmallows, then eat up.
Day puffed.
Try to play Fluffy Bunny with that.
Oh.
Do you know what Fluffy Bunny is?
Actually, no.
You don't know what Fluffy Bunny is? You try to stick as many marshmallows as you can in your mouth and keep saying Fluffy Bunny until you can't say it anymore. It's a lot funnier if I didn't have to explain it.
Maybe we could do that on the show at some point.
Oh, that would be fun.
Or we'll have to say something else, though. Like, you know, the name of the show, like, What the Sex, and then put one in, What the Sex.
And then it sounds like you're choking on a...
Yeah.
We're doing that. Okay. I'm going to the grocery store. Or I could just bend over and there's my ass made of marshmallow, though. This is taking a complete left turn.
Right?
We zigged when we should have zagged.
One of the other things I wanted to cover this week is, you know, breaking down the hypotheticals and some, you know, some stories that we have on what brings a person to cheat. Now, I want everybody to understand that I for one, am not condoning cheating for any reason whatsoever.
No.
But psychologically speaking, we get to certain points in our life where it made the most sense at the time. but that, you know, logically speaking, if you were in the right frame of mind, you wouldn't do such a thing in the first place. But again, there's the argument where how do you lose yourself so much so that, you know, you're able to do that and not feel bad about it? Whereas I think a lot of people do feel bad, even though there are a lot of assholes, women and guys alike, that have cheated and have no remorse because, again, for whatever reason, they've been taught that, you know, get yours and, you know, just worry about your own. Don't worry about anybody else's feelings. Survival of the fittest bullshit.
Yeah. I mean, whenever I cheated, I didn't feel guilty in the moment, but I can look back now. It's been 8 years since it happened. I look back now and I've even just recently, I messaged him on Facebook. He's married now, has kids, but it was more for me and not for him. I guess that's the selfish, but I wanted to let him know that I was a horrible person for doing that. And I'm sorry I put him through that because he was going back to reverting back to my fiance. He was my fiance at the time. Mm-hmm. And I felt in the moment in time, I was like, fuck, I don't care. You know, our relationship, I guess my story is our relationship had just become stale. You know, I wanted more excitement. He was always on the computer or he was always playing a video game or, you know, he was always working. He had like two jobs and he didn't need two jobs, but, you know, he just liked to work. And it just, I wanted that attention and I started getting it from other people.
Okay, so, but here's the hindsight question.
Yeah.
Why didn't you just leave him?
Because I didn't think I was going to find anybody else.
You just said you were talking to other people and getting their attention.
It was all sex based. You know, it was all net, that type of attention. It was sexual attention. You know, it was all flirting and, you know.
But isn't that where every relationship starts?
Yes and no. Like, some relationships start with just a friendship and you begin to like each other because you have so much in common and then you fall in love with that person for who they are. And so you're thinking, well, maybe we can have a relationship from this. But it was just like talking and it was the person who I ended up cheating with. To be honest with you, I don't even know how it happened. One time he worked with him. It was that he actually, the guy I cheated on my fiance with, worked with him at a second job. And yeah, I see your face. I know. I know, but my ex-fiance delivered pizzas in the evening because my old roommate, you know, I had a guy roommate. That's what he did for his job. So they all kind of worked together. Well, one night his friend was just like, do you want to come with me on a couple of rides? Oh, he got a ride later, but...
kerosene and a Zippo lighter. What could go wrong?
Exactly. So, you know, but it didn't happen that night. You know, we just started flirting, you know, because I was always a flirt. I've always been a flirt, regardless if I'm in a relationship or not. And we just started flirting and I was like, wow, you know, he's really good looking. How can a guy like that be interested in me? And then it became one night I met him up at his job. We started driving and he made a move on me. And 4 months later, we're still hooking up behind my fiance's back. So, it was crazy. And then
for that situation, it wasn't a isolated incident. It's something that you actually carried for a while.
Oh yeah, we carried it for a long time. And the guy who I was cheating with, he actually had a girlfriend too, and I knew about the girlfriend. But
oh, and that made it okay because at least now you guys are on even keel.
Yeah, I know. I went in the situation. I was like, fuck her. I don't know her. Why should I care? And it went on for about 4 months. And finally, you know, we just decided that it needed to stop. And that's where it was, because I think him and his girlfriend, oddly as it sounds, started getting a little bit more serious. So I said, I know, right? He's cheated on her. And I think they were getting ready to move in with each other. And I was like, okay, well, this has to stop. And then I told my fiance I wasn't in love with him anymore. I had been cheating on him and I moved out. So that was the end of that.
Which is actually pretty admirable considering what you had been doing behind his back. Because, you know, you could have, you know, stayed with him out of fear, but since you weren't going to obviously get the new guy because his relationship. Well, I know you didn't, but that's kind of my point, though, is that, you know, a lot of people will go and stray because they're getting the attention that they want that they're not getting from the relationship that they're in, but are unwilling to let go of everything else that was coming with it. No pun intended.
Yeah.
And in your situation, you actually did both. You didn't get the new guy and you left the old one.
Yeah. I couldn't continue to go on with it. It's just, I wasn't happy. And I needed to just let him go because I could not see myself marrying him. I couldn't, you know, the whole reason I started cheating was because our relationship got stale. So at that point, I should have walked away, but I didn't because I'm out of fear.
Well, how long were you guys engaged for in total?
In total, we were engaged for about 6 to 7 months.
Okay. Now, yeah. When he asked you to marry him, I'm presuming that he asked you.
Well, this right? is kind of, and this is another thing. Right. How our engagement happened was we were just talking about weddings, and he's like, "Well, do you want to go look at rings?" And I was like, "Okay, let's go look at rings." So we went to Jared, the Gallery of Jewelry. We went there, and we were just looking around, and I saw something I liked. And the next thing I know, he's like, "Let's just do this." That was it. There was no romance, nothing behind it. And he's like, "I'll start saving for it now and we'll just be engaged with no rings." And that was it. There was no down on one knee asking my father, nothing like that. It was the lamest thing I've ever experienced in my life.
But what was your response? You're just like, okay,
let's that's fine, let's get married. So, and then that's kind of how it started.
My people will call your people, we'll draw up some papers,
and then it'll be a done deal. We'll go in front of a judge and we'll be good. But that was it. And I feel bad. I feel like I wasted his time. He's happier now, though. I mean, like I said, he's married and has kids. But I feel like I wasted his time and my time. But I learned from it. But the thrill of it, that's the problem. The thrill that came with it.
With cheating on him?
Yes. It was very thrilling. It was just, and I think that's why people do it, is because it was almost like a high, you know?
It's just like having sex in public, the fear of getting caught, you know, yes. Where is this going to go? I mean, because a lot of times that's part of the problem with adulting, is that things do get very repetitive. Mm-hmm. You pick up on a pattern when everything is the same day in, day out. You don't know what day it is because it's the same shit that happened yesterday. You know, you get mm-hmm. into, you know, boring routines that not knowing what's going to happen in the next 15, 20 minutes can be the most addicting thing in the world. And, you know, again, the idea of unfamiliar strange, obviously that's why they call it strange, but to get strange and not know about that person and to wonder if you might get caught is part of the thrill. That being said, again, it's still not okay to do it. I've cheated in the past, but as someone who has cheated on someone, I can say for myself that not all cheaters are always cheaters.
Yes, that's not true. Once a cheater, always a cheater is not the case.
Right.
If that's what you're referring to. No.
Right. Well, yeah, that's what I have done it. I felt bad about it, even though later I found out that she was doing it to me too.
Oh, that's the worst.
Well, yeah, there was a whole thing. I mean, because this was my first girlfriend, the one that lasted about 3 years. Right towards the end, you know, we just weren't getting along. I felt like she was treating me like shit and she wasn't hanging out with me very much. I mean, she even decided to stay home and sleep on my 21st birthday. Instead of coming out and hanging out. And so, you know, that was my first initial vulnerability, because you know, as it was, I was over at my friend's house. We were all drinking. It was a party. And the worst I did was I made out with someone by technically accident, because it wasn't something that I was not in my right frame of mind, though. I was drinking. It wasn't like I planned, like, I'm going to hook up with this chick one way or another. It just, we were talking, and then I found myself making out with her. Like, I don't really remember the buildup to that.
You can't blame it on the alcohol.
it's not the alcohol's fault, because if there was a number of other things in the right, you know, the way things should have been, that situation never would have remotely happened.
Yeah.
But as I was, you know, sobering up, I stayed up all night tripping about it. I took a small walk. You know, I stayed over at my friend's house, but like I said, I didn't sleep. So I was just kind of walking around near his neighborhood. And, you know, I finally decided that morning that even though I just made out with this person for a little bit, I mean, it wasn't like it was hours. It was like I made out with like maybe 5 minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I told her. I told my girlfriend what I had done. I told her why I felt like I had, you know, why I did it. And, you know, she seemed to forgive me. But thereafter, we both went much further with other people. And I went so far as to lie to keep everything in place so that I could continue doing it.
Well, that's what I did too, with lying.
Well,
about where you were, what you were doing, who you were with.
Well, but see, that's just it. I didn't lie about who I was with. I just lied about how close we had gotten.
Oh, well, I lied about who I was with and where I was at, 100%. Because it would have made no sense for me to be hanging out with him. So I couldn't be like, yeah, I'm hanging out with, you know, I'm hanging out with him, because that wouldn't have made any sense. So I used one of my best friends at the time that I was staying at her house and hanging out there, because I was coming home at like 7 o'clock in the morning, and it was really coming home from his house and or a hotel. If we had booked a hotel room, then we were coming home to the hotel. Yeah, scandalous. We booked hotel rooms, some of which were by the hour.
No.
Oh, those. Yeah. And so, yeah, I would come home and he's like, oh, he'd be leaving and going to work. And he's like, oh, did you have fun over at your friend's house? And I was like, yeah, I'm just coming home now because she left to go to work. And that was my go-to at the time.
I even sunk so low as to have sex with both of them in the same evening.
Did I do that? I don't think I did that, no. Because I think our sex life kind of started to dwindle around that time.
Well, that's what frustrated me with that particular instance, because it was like, we don't have sex.
Mm-hmm.
And now suddenly that I start having sex with somebody else, now you want to have sex? And so... to keep up the appearance, disgustingly enough, I was like, all right, we'll have sex. And because I don't want her to, you know, suspect
something's going on. Because very rarely do men turn it down, the sex.
See, if I wasn't worried about getting caught, I would have. I didn't want to have sex. I still loved her or felt that I did.
Yeah.
I was just, you know, for me, not where I wanted to be. And so I was vulnerable and I allowed this other situation to, you know, become my quasi-addiction, because this other person was making me feel good where my girlfriend wasn't anymore. She stopped treating me like a wonderful person and someone that she wanted to be with. You know, she was, you know, like I said, she ditched me on my birthday. She stayed home and slept. She was starting to go out a lot more often with her coworker friends, who ended up being one of the guy that who ended up being the guy that she would cheat with. Was with one of her coworkers. In fact, they even got married after that. So
really?
So it kind of makes you wonder. It's like, well, I guess they were meant to. It was true love.
But who is really, do you really think that everyone, okay, do you think that everyone has that person? Do you think everyone has a soulmate in this world? Do you believe in soulmates? Have we talked about this?
I'm not sure. I do believe in soulmates, and I don't think it's that rare, but I think finding them is rare.
Do you think you have... okay, this was a discussion I had probably about a month ago. Do you think that everyone has multiple soulmates? Or do you think there's just that one person while you're alive and they are alive, that there's somebody out of the billions of people here, there's one and that's it?
Well, I think that, you know, what we end up finding is that there's a lot of us that have certain things in common, that we have certain bonds with people along the way. But to know that there's that one person that compliments you, you know, and I don't mean like literally like, oh, your eyes are pretty, thank you for that compliment. I don't mean that kind of compliment. I mean like, you know, literally compliments your style with the way you think, the way you conduct yourself. I think that there's that one person that compliments you in every single way, whereas most people can do and fulfill one or more of those things, but still not everything.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, my first girlfriend, like I told you, she was great at head, right?
Mm-hmm.
My next girlfriend, who I felt I loved even more than that, was not good at head. But she great in other ways. So along the way, it's like, you know, there's things that are pluses and minuses about everybody. But I think that there, hypothetically, that there is that one person that is all those things that you're looking for, that does give great head, that, you know, and not just stuff that's sexual, but just like the way they, you know, they love the same foods and know how to cook those foods and have no problem, you know, making them or whatever have you. And
okay, well, I have a scenario for you. Then you tell me this. So,
okay.
Oh, there was a guy that was a part of my life, and we had everything. I mean, we could sit there and talk for hours, hours upon hours upon hours, but we didn't meet each other at the right time in our life. And there was one thing that still sticks with me to this day. And, you know, you think back and you go, well, do soulmates necessarily have to be the ones that you end up with, or can they just be a really good friend? Can a soulmate still be a good friend? Because I have a thing with me. You know what skeleton keys are. I'm drawn to them. My house is decorated. Skeleton keys are everywhere because there's something about them where I find comfort in them. Well, this particular person said that they used to have, they didn't like, you know, like the normal big padded locks a skeleton key would be used for. He said he never really liked them. Like, he would always see them and hate them. You know what I'm saying? And there was just something about him that he just didn't like. Well, he said he went to a psychic one time, and the psychic told him that he lived a past life in the Spanish Inquisition or whatever it was called, and that he was locked up. And I thought, oh my God, I'm love skeleton keys, and this person fear is, so are we meant to be together because of these stories? Like, I'm here to unlock his fears and everything with that. And I don't know,
he's trying to remain uncaged.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm just, you know, there was an instance like that where I thought back and went, oh my God, you know, this is that's something he is afraid of. But I have, the one thing that I'm drawn to is what can open up his fear. You know what I'm saying? And so that's when there's moments where you have like that, you're thinking, whoa, you know, is this the person? But then you're thinking, well, maybe they're just meant to be a good friend, like a best friend, and just to be a part of your life. Maybe you're not supposed to love your soulmate. Maybe they're just supposed to come in and bring a part of your world back to you that you didn't have.
Well, but see, that's the unfortunate nature is you don't know. I mean, because, like, you know, I have cried wolf, unfortunately, several times not knowing better.
Yeah.
I you know, my first girlfriend was my quote unquote soulmate. And then, you know, one of my last relationships was my quote unquote soulmate. And, you know, again, I was proven wrong when they didn't work out. So it was like, well, fuck, what entails a soulmate then if I can feel this passion about someone and still somehow the relationship ends?
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, it's one thing when you know that things are bad, but even so, like, when relationship have ended, most of them for me anyway, they still blindside me with them ending. Like, I don't get it. Like, I know we're, because see, this goes back to my being so strict about being loyal, is that I am in this relationship because I already care about you and I want to, mm-hmm. and I want to see it through. I want you to understand that I'm always going to be there for you. So when we go through a rough patch, nowhere near is it in my head that I'm going to give up. So breaking up and now living my life from this point on without you doesn't even cross my mind. So when the other person brings up, hey, it's over, I can't do this anymore, I don't know which way is up. I smell the color purple. Like, you know, everything just doesn't make any sense anymore.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
No, you're fine. I know that feeling. That's what I mean. That's why I had that reaction. Cause,
and well, yeah. And so not know, I mean, cause even in hindsight, all I've been able to determine is that at this point in time, the people that I have gone out with and feel like one, or technically I thought all of them were my soulmate, maybe I was right about one of them and wrong about the others. Cause again, you don't know until you're dead which one you might end up with. You don't know.
Yeah, that's the truth.
And I'm not even saying I want this, but hypothetically speaking, what if, you know, 10, 15 years from now, somehow I get back together with my first girlfriend? Like, the time in between, we just simply weren't meant to be, but the timing lined up again that we give another try and we become the best couple we possibly could be. I don't personally want that, but I'm just saying, what if? I really don't. Like, I am finally over that, you know?
I'm a firm believer that people who you make a connection with, not just people that you pass by on the street, but people you make a connection with, are truly meant to be a part of your life one way or another. You know, there's a reason why people are brought into your lives. Oh my goodness, this is a totally different topic. This is not, the topic itself is nothing has to do with this, but I struggle with whether I believe in a higher being or not, but I somewhat believe that there's something out there. There's no way.
The cosmic force.
Yeah, there's like a cosmic force out there that there's reasons why people are brought into your lives, and you may not see it when they're there, but a month later, when they're no longer a part of your life, you see why they were brought into it and you learn a lesson, whether it's good or bad. I don't know. I feel that there's fate and there's a reason why people meet each other.
See, I think it's just very slow deductive reasoning that the only lessons I get was that I thought wrong.
And that's all you think about? You don't
feel deeper? I felt wrong. And I thought wrong. I sacrificed, and I was not worth hanging on to.
It's just, I just can't do that cut and dry. And I guess that's the difference between some men and women. It just, I look into it deeper.
I know loyalty, and the ones that I have chosen to try with did not.
And so when your relationship's over, it's just cut and dry. It's just cut and dry like that.
It's very painful. Don't get me wrong. I have dehydrated myself many times over my past relationships. But I think ultimately, if you find the one that you love and that they, you know, obviously they love you back,
mm-hmm.
no matter what you're going through, you'll figure it out.
Yes, 100%.
So yes. I cry because I felt like I had found those things only to be, you know, basically kicked in the balls, told that I was wrong, that I didn't. So, okay, so I'm already starting to tear a little bit, but I'm going to try to get through this. I think this sums up pretty much what I was looking for, because honestly, right now, I am not looking. I don't want anything, if not the one thing, and that's obviously not going to happen. But there's a TV show of which speaks about a family that is modern.
Yep.
Okay, so there's a gay couple on that show, and they were trying to, I mean, you know, this was just right around the time when the announcement got made that gay marriage was okay, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they each decide on their own that they want to ask the other one to marry them. Mm-hmm. So they both have these elaborate plans, you know, trying to be romantic. They set reservations and they got some of the other family members involved, and they're all trying to do these things, and then they both catch on that the other person is trying to ask them, and they're like, oh God, I don't want to ruin this, but I've already got my stuff planned. And so they both kind of make up these excuses why they can't go do whatever the other person's plans are.
Yeah.
And so it just, you know, it ends up in this, you know, tug of war, basically, of spending this whole day trying to let the other person do it. And it just keeps backfiring, right? So what ends up happening is they get into a car and they're driving to go home. And as they're doing so, two different sides of the family are trying to help one or the other prepare their setup for the big romantic will you marry me.
Mm-hmm.
And as they're driving, they end up getting like a flat tire, and they pull over, and they see, like, you know, they're near the Hollywood, whatever. They look over to the city and see all the big lights and everything, and they're trying to put a tire back together, and they start getting nostalgic, and they talk about, oh, remember when we did this, and remember when we did that, and it's like, oh, I remember the look on your face. And you know, they just have this amazing moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they finally, like, you know, oh yeah, what are we doing, we got to get this tire. So they both kneel down to put the tire on, and they're trying to work the jack and to get the bolts tightened, and they just pause.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked into each other's eyes, and they just said yes.
Aww, don't cry, you're gonna make me cry.
They knew without having to do any of that they not only wanted it, but that they had found it. That's what I was looking for. And so to keep coming up short, I mean, I've had long relationships.
Yeah.
And then for them to still end as if, you know, nothing gained, that is all I'm left with, was that I was wrong.
But you can't put it solely on yourself. I mean, that's the thing. It's not.
It is my decision. I chose to get into that relationship.
But you didn't know. I mean, you didn't know the outcome. You can't beat yourself up over something that you can't be solely responsible for. You can't take sole responsibility for that. You did not fail. It was a collaborative thing of things that made it fail. So that's the cosmos, whatever you want to call it, telling you this. You have such a big heart that you want to believe that person's the one, but they're really not. You're going,
which is why I can not only not trust them, but I can't trust my own judgment.
Then that's whatever, you just do like they say. You just don't look for it. You walk away from it, and then maybe that person is just going to come to you. Maybe not. Maybe you're. I don't know. I personally don't believe in monogamous type relationships like that. You know, it's what the world, it's what Hallmark wants us to believe. Romantic movies want us to believe, but I don't think humans were built that way. I don't think, I mean, we're meant to love, but are we meant to love one person for the rest of our lives? Or are we meant to love the people who come into our lives by fate? You know, what is it? And I don't think you should beat yourself up over past things that you couldn't fully control. You know, it wasn't just you. It takes two people to fail at something. It takes two people to fail at a relationship but not work at it, you know? And so you can't just take that sole responsibility on yourself. Can't. Because you're going to beat yourself up like you are now.
But I only have my side to have any sort of control over.
I know. And I know that. But you can't, I mean, you can have your moment where you beat yourself up over it. Everybody does. But you can't solely continue to blame just yourself on it, because it takes more than one. You didn't fail. You did not fail. The relationship itself failed, not you. So that's how you have to look at it.
If and when.
There will definitely be a win. So don't even question that. There's going to be a win.
And that concludes this edition of the What the Sex podcast. I'm Sarah D.
And I'm JP. And remember, this has just been between us, the sheets, and anywhere else we fancy.
I can't wait for the next time.
Ciao.
That's right. Keep it locked right here where you got it. It's Chill Lover Radio.